You are so good. Hallelujah. So this has been our journey. So what we've learned is, and I don't have time to go into all of it, but just a little bit more, something for you to look at and study, is the Bible makes it very, very clear. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 makes it explicitly clear. I've struggled with brothers who I love and who I receive from. Dear lady that was a worship leader with me when I was just a young guy years ago in Honduras. I almost said her name. Don't want to do that for the recording. But she married a wonderful man, Albuquerque, New Mexico. We got the opportunity. I hadn't seen Linda in years and years and years. But he is a... Didn't say the last name. Woo! Okay, here we go. I'm learning. I'm trying. Okay. Strike it from the... Anyway. At any rate... her husband is a Messianic Jew and loves God, in-depth student of the Word, loves Jesus. His life is different. He truly is my brother in Jesus. He's got a lot to share. But right there was the stump for him. He just could not. And I'd show him 2 Corinthians 3 and say, but you've got to, and almost said his name, help me, Lord Jesus. You've got to look at what it says, though. He's not saying that the law wasn't glorious, but he says that which was glorious must needs be done away so that that which is rather more glorious can come into place. I said, what do you do with the last few verses where he says, now because of Jesus and his work, men stand in synagogues and still preach Moses? What does he mean? Well, he states earlier in that same chapter, that which was written in stone, Paul calls a ministry of death in one place and a ministry of condemnation. It had its place. I mean, oh, the law is a good mirror. You've heard me say this many times. You've been around here, but I want to remind you, the law is a good mirror. It helped me see myself as undone, needy, sinful, in need of a Savior. No way I can do this. It was a good mirror, but it is a poor bar of soap. It showed me I needed a bath. But what the bar of, it could not be the bar of soap. Let me tell you, nothing but the blood of Jesus. How many glad for Jesus today? Hallelujah. And that blood, that work has made us white as snow before the Father. I'm very glad for that. I'm very glad for that this morning. Hallelujah. So what we learned is that that law was replaced with a new law. How many are in here are practicing that on it? I hope that you are on a daily basis. If you've not been with us, what we've learned together, and Scripture makes it very clear, there's a new law. That new law is not written in stone. It's not the writing, which we're getting ready to look at in Ephesians, not the writing of ordinance which were against us, but now we have entered in to a new family by the blood of Jesus. And God's Spirit has been placed within the heart of the believer. He lives in us by the Holy Spirit. And that presence of God in us by the Holy Spirit is the new law written on fleshy tables of the heart. That's beautiful. We're not on a log ride anymore, bumping into stuff and on tracks. We're free. He set us free. No more fences, no more rails. Put a Holy Ghost compass on the inside and says, now trust me and watch where I will take you. A new law, his voice, the presence of the Holy Spirit. How many know there's a process of learning there? He's certainly okay with it. We ought to be. How many know that in the process of learning, we're going to miss it from time to time. But I'll tell you what, there's nothing more exciting than stepping out and saying, Lord, I thank you for that law which brought me to my knees, brought me into a living relationship. Now I thank you for a new law put on the inside. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And now I am his sheep. I do know his voice. I'm learning to hear what he says. I'm letting my voice, your voice, be made strong. My heart be made tender. Do you know how many believers have hard hearts? The cares of this world, just going through the ritual, a whole lot of doing stuff for God versus being who he has called us to be, and letting the rest take care of itself. How many love Jesus today? Now, before we get into our pickup, so that's just a little tidbit. Romans 8:2 says, and you guys have heard this week, those have been with us week after week after week, hopefully you can quote this with me. This is what the new law looks like. Romans chapter 8, of course, we all know Romans 8:1. There is therefore now, and if you know anything about the way God thinks and believes, I would never pretend, and I get a kick out of people say, well, the way God thinks and the way God, we don't know. It's so arrogant to say that. But we know a little bit about the way he thinks in this, that you, the way he spoke in the Old Testament never spoke of future. For example, when he goes to Abram, because Abram trusted him, he speaks to Abram and he says, I have, in the delivery of a promise which affects the world to this day, he says, I have. He didn't say, I'm going to make you. I have made you the father of many and have called you Abraham. There's never a future, for in God there is no time. Now is now. Now. There is therefore now. For good. There is therefore now. No fear. That's what condemnation means. Remember this. No fear of punishment from God for those who now are found in Christ Jesus. Now here's the new law written on the hearts. Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life. How many can quote it with me by now? I mean, we've been covering this for months. For the law of the Spirit of life, he's putting in opposition a new law to the old. For the law of the Spirit of life. How many are glad today for the law of the Spirit of life that is on the inside of us because of Jesus? The law of the Spirit of life has set me free from that other law called the law of sin and death. And you say with me, Jesus in me, the hope of glory, made possible by the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, man. The Comforter. Hallelujah. The Teacher. Our Guide. Always revealing more of who Jesus is. Amen. Before we go to Ephesians, I do this every week, go to John chapter 7, the Gospel of John chapter 7. I always like to just remind us once in a while why we're here. You know, we, especially we, out of whatever you call it, I don't even know what we are anymore. I was talking to somebody the other day. I ran into a guy down, there's a young Republican running for Senate. His name is it Daniel? What's his first name? McCarthy. Daniel McCarthy. Tremendous young man. Tremendous. Anyway, Vic made the connection, and Becca and I were able to go down there. Becca actually sang the national anthem and God Bless America, and I played the guitar. We had a good time. And at any rate, I forgot what I was going to say about that. Daniel McCarthy. Yeah. God bless America. Yeah. Boy, I forgot where I was going there. Well, I got to do that at least once a week or you'd be disappointed. It'll come back to me in a minute. Let me see if I can go back to where I was. John chapter 7. Chapter 15, verse 7. Reminding us of why we come here. Now I remember what it was. We were there. Thank you. We were there for that event. And I kept noticing this tall fella. He looked kind of rough. Standing over here, kind of leaning in. And he had a badge on for the event. And he's kind of leaning in, kind of quiet. And he kept looking. And, you know, he was rough enough looking that I wasn't really sure. He acted like he kept wanting to say something. Anyway, long story short, I finally turned and introduced myself to let the guy set the guy at ease. And he found out about the fact that we had a church here in Chino and began to tell his testimony. A biker, meth addict, for years, and how he had gotten saved at Bethel Baptist and how God delivered him in his garage. Meth. He said, I cried out to God, and he said, a power hit me, slammed me against the wall. He said, I fell on the floor, and he said, I felt everything in me that was evil just running out of the top, along with addictions. He said, I just laid there and cried. He said, I now serve in the children's ministry. We're both standing there just bawling. I think it's so arrogant that we, charismatics, Pentecostals, whatever, we're spirit-filled churches, and they're we got to stop this nonsense. If that wasn't a spirit-filled brother, I don't care what you call it. He may not talk in tongues. You know, I believe that anybody's got the Holy Ghost. I mean, tongues comes with it. It's just like when you buy a pair of tennis shoes, tongues comes with them. You may not know what to do with it. But to say that you can't, that you're not spirit-filled because you don't fit our little Pentecostal cookie cutter is ridiculous. I'm so glad for Bethel Baptist. Changed lives. I don't even know which one it is. I don't care. I saw changed life. We're so arrogant in the way we talk of we're spirit-filled and they're what? I remember James Robinson when his life got turned around. The people that I was hanging out with, he said, yeah, but he's not spirit-filled. Well, you need some more filling, or because you're not seeing what I'm seeing. I'm very glad for the Holy Ghost today that dwells in every. Yeah, I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Of course I do. But He lives within those who have confessed His name, leads and guides and strengthens us every day. If it wasn't for that, anyway, I've got to move on. John 15. Just a little reminder of why we do this, why we come together like this every week. We Pentecostals, charismatics, cruzomatics, whatever you want to call us, we always feel like we got to get somewhere and work something up. I believe that if we'll just quit working so hard, quit doing so hard, and just be who He's called us to be. Love Him. Worshipers. Communion. Out of that, we were talking about this a couple weeks ago. And we watched God do a supernatural thing. I don't know how many were in here, but the Lord gave me a word. I didn't know it was my own daughter. I'd completely forgotten. You know that for 2 hours, her husband sat over here crying. He said, I can feel stuff moving all through her back. The Lord spoke to her. She said to me it was audible and said, I'm going to work on you for 2 hours. She sat there for 2 hours. I didn't know it. She had had terrible sciatica, hip pain ever since the second baby and was fighting her own little battle of faith. And I mean, God just took that stuff out like that. Other things taking place. I'm very glad for the supernatural power of God. We got to be careful we don't put God in a box. He doesn't belong. About the time you build a box, He's out and going down the road somewhere else. The end of 2 Corinthians 3, I didn't get there a little while ago. I left off just to go back and finish that. says that Christ remains veiled, hidden, because of the continued preaching of the law of Moses. So I want to help people move out of do and into be. The new spirit within. Amen. Now, again, our purpose today is not to come and work up a Holy Ghost revival. Our purpose today is to come and enjoy fellowship one with another. But first is to worship Him. There's a rest. Man, I see people that are supposed spirit-filled people, and they're just always just like, this is the expression on their face. Oh, I'm like, man, you need to chill out. I don't know what's going on with you. You need to relax. Some of our greatest preachers are losing their marriages and losing their kids. It's all become about just winding it all the time, just winding it. How about unwinding? Come on, well, can we unwind right now one more time? Lift your hands up. Jesus, we love you. We don't do anything else today. Let us be a Mary in the house. You are beautiful. You are wonderful. My healer, my Lord, my Savior, my God. Thomas, he just couldn't. It's like we sit in here week after week. He just couldn't. Jesus said, Thomas, look. He took one look at that. He says, my Lord and my God, how many love Him today? Oh, we love you. You are good. Amber, you messed me up. Hallelujah. Jesus speaking. This is why we're in here like this. 15:7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. Ask, and there is so much talk today about the Lord's will. How many know it's important to know the will of the Lord? Ephesians 5, the book that we're looking at right now. Well, hopefully we try each week. In Ephesians 5, it says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but rather be filled with the Spirit of God. This is a response to a question that is posed, saying, be not unwise, but know what the will of the Lord is. Knowing His will. It's important to know the will of the Lord. But you want to know something? It's easy for a lot of people to talk about the will of the Lord, especially when they have no clue what they're talking about. They believe it's God's will to make you sick, to teach you something. That's incongruent with the Bible. They believe it's God's will to allow disaster to come in your life to turn you around. How many know disasters come and go? We live in a fallen world. We have an enemy who doesn't like what we're doing. But God is not behind those disasters. Well, what about Job? You've been here. I did a whole series on Job. I'll tell you the key to Job. Job repents of everything he said in most of the book at the last chapter, 42. I spoke of things I didn't know, spoke things that I didn't understand, and now I repent in sackcloth and ashes. Elihu, who is a type of Christ, the Christophany, states clearly with God wholly backing him, saying Jehovah does not afflict. Today you can know He is good without a hitch. He is for us. The other song that we sang, whose I am, for me and not against me. How many are glad for that today? Amen. We come together like this, not to try to wind something up, but to worship Jesus. To love one another. And let the world see that our truth. It broke my heart when I heard, and I don't know how accurate those polls are, but the fact that they'd come out with something like that and say that now we're at like 43%, first time ever it's below the 50% mark. We've got a job to do in America. But the job isn't doing more, the job is being. That's the problem. We've been busy doing. I'm very glad to be. How many are ready to be? Who He's called us to be. Anyway, here we go. Jesus says in 15:7, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, here it is. We hear a lot about God's will. But here is the manifestation of God in the earth, Jesus Himself, the Son of God, saying, ask what you will. He's changing the rules a little bit here. Now, this doesn't mean whatever you want, whatever whim, whatever. But as you're walking, remember, the key to this is if you abide in Him and He abides in you, that does something to you. Psalms 37, 4 and 5 are one of the most freeing verses. Changed my life when I got a revelation of it after years in ministry. It says that He gives us the desire of the desires of our heart. If we are passionate about Him. Isn't that amazing? If we commit our way to His processes, He'll bring those things to pass. That's a promise. Isn't that something? Okay, so here He says, abide in me and my words abide in you. Ask what you will. Let me know, that is great power. Stop begging God about that grandson and start putting a demand on the Word of God. God wants us. John 15, I believe it is. It's literally in the Greek. He said, whatever things you demand in my name, it is humble to put a demand on His power. It's religious to ask Him to do something that He's already paved the way and said, you do it in my name. He says right here, if you abide in me and my words, and He's talking to guys who aren't even born again yet. Remember, He hadn't died yet. No resurrection yet. He's opening up a whole new and living way that He would ratify the new covenant through the work of the cross, His death, burial, and resurrection. Everything would change. And He's opening up a whole new way. And He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will. That means as I'm walking in that flow and living in this new law, there are going to be some things that are going to face me. James, I mentioned this last week. James, we're always asking God, would you just take the devil? He can't do that. He paid everything. He's waiting for you to find out who you are and the kind of power, and for you to stand up and state what you will. Submit to God. How do you submit to God? Humble yourself and do what He says to do. He says, I'm telling you, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask what you will. You've heard me tell the story many times. I can hear the crash of glass. The smell of blood, metal crunching and flipping, and I see my son standing in the shower. Now, don't let the devil harass you and think back of times when you didn't know this and say, well, if I would have, that is nonsense. Stand today in the freedom that you have. Take this as an encouragement. Don't let the devil spin this around and turn it into a discouragement. That's a danger when I share stuff like this, and I get it. But I want to encourage you from this day forward. Many of us have, we just didn't know. Hosea 4:6 says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. That's why it's so important for us to remember Romans 12:2 that says, be not conform to this world. I believe it's Moffat's or one of those great translations says, don't let yourself be shaped by the spirit of this age. There's a spirit of this age that is wrapped in so much fear. Everything around us is about learning to react. But I'm thankful that because of Jesus, we don't have to sit around and wait for something to hit us and then get in the spirit. We can walk in the spirit. This new life, a new law written in our hearts. James puts it this way, submit to God and you resist the devil and he will flee from you. Stand and believe. He sent the disciples out. You have the picture after they're filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, Acts 3. Peter and John, well, they were apostles. Let me tell you something. They had to come through the same door as you and I. They are not deity. If you don't believe that, read the continued history of Peter. He struggled with the law all the way through. Galatians that we studied for several months. Paul opens the book of Galatians saying, I had to withstand him to his face because of his hypocrisy. And yet he loved Peter. Peter later on confesses Paul's gospel is true. It's a little hard to understand, but it's good stuff, my paraphrase. These were real guys. And yet this guy, broken and doesn't have it all together in a bag of chips, stands at the gate of Beautiful and has the audacity to say, I don't have any silver or gold, but such as I have, I have. Would you say it today? Such as I have. What is it that we have? The full inheritance of God given to us through the work of Jesus. He said, such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus. We have rationalized these truths away, but they're still true for those who believe. Don't try to do somebody else's miracle. God will lead you in the place where you're at to let the miraculous power of God flow through you. But we got to get rid of the law and get over here into the new law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus and begin to know when He speaks, we can trust that what He says is true. We got a family member we're getting ready to go see. Not anybody that you know. Not anybody that we've told you about, so you can just relax. But they had to warn us because at their house, where they live, they said, we just want to warn you. There's voices in our house. People walk around. They move stuff. Stuff getting knocked off the shelves, flying off the wall. I get excited. Because it's going to be hilarious because when I'm there, it'll all stop. And they won't know what to say. It happens every time. Do you know who you are in Him? If you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask what? He's putting it back on you. What do you want? Now, he's not talking about your whim, your fleshly desires, whatever. Now, how many know He is interested in the deepest desires of our heart? I've seen that happen over and over again. I've simply said, Lord, I don't know how this would work, but someday I would really like to and I've watched it happen again and again, supernaturally. The ranch I was working at yesterday, it's so neat, the different things that have happened. But I remember 15 years ago driving by that place and I laughed and I said, wouldn't it be neat if that was a little family place? And wouldn't it be funny if they needed some help from time to time? And it wouldn't be funny if they were Christians. I got a call 8 months later. They began to give the directions to the place. Nazarene people. Been there for a long time. Little stuff. That has nothing to do with anything. The desires of our heart. So he's interested in those things. That's not really, you got to be careful there because we don't want to ever turn this into stuff, about stuff. But He will, as you're abiding in Him, begin to put desires born of the Spirit in you. And here's the trick. So much of religion has taught us to seek God as if He's out there somewhere. And He's going to lead us from out. He's going to throw us a lifeline and lead us. We forget who we are. The presence of God lives in me. He's going to express His desire through, from the inside of us. For years, my desire to come here, I put aside for a number of reasons. But the biggest one is that I wanted to be here so bad. And one day, the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, didn't I tell you, delight yourself in the Lord, Psalms 37, 4 and 5, and I will give you the desires of your heart. Why don't you just trust me and turn towards it? And when I did, it's like everything broke loose and crumbled in that direction. Even more so than we're on the mission field. Just down to some things. Now, we got to be careful. We don't jump off a cliff. We don't be foolish. There's a time of preparation, but as we begin to move towards something, He's saying, I'm telling you, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask what you will. You got some struggles? Why don't you begin to voice Examine the Word of God. Make sure that what's in your heart lines up with the Word, because the Holy Spirit's not going to tell you anything. Not going to give you somebody else's wife. Not going to give you somebody else's truck. Or their dog. Can you finish the country song? But He will. Are you here today? Express His desires through you. You got some things that you need to call out? We always talk about God's will. Jesus is putting it back and said, whatever you will. Lord, I'm tired of waiting on that grandbaby. I'm calling him in Jesus' name. That son, wake him up. Speak to him. Stop asking God to do it. You start talking to him. Now you say, where do you get that from? Well, this same little book that we're talking about, we're getting ready to open up and look at what Paul did. This means we have a license to do the same. Paul wasn't asking. Paul was putting some things in place. And you can take these same scriptures over your family, over your loved one, over. But Jesus says, ask what you want to show me. Let me finish this up, or we're never going to get to Ephesians again. It's already 11:20. Here we go. He says, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. Notice this is said in connection with ask what you will. God keep putting a desire in your heart for ministry? Is He giving you pictures and ideas? Step out. Trust Him. Love somebody. You don't need a pulpit. You don't need a platform. You don't need lights. Do you, Bob? Just love people with the love of God and watch what happens. Okay, let's move on. That's another sermon for another time. Here he says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. You ever had a hitch about His love for you today, proclaiming you are good? I want you to stop a minute and let that sink in. As the Father loves Jesus, how many know He loves Him quite a bit? So, in the same way, in the same fashion, with the same depth, with the same eternal passion, I have loved you. Man. Now back up to verse 3. We're sitting in here hearing these things. Here is one of the main reasons that we do this, not to wind up try to relive the 50s revivals. We're in here to let Jesus be unveiled. Here's what Jesus says. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. If we get nothing else today done, how many notice that just through the sharing of the word of God today, it's just like the dust is being washed away. Would you lift your hands one more time? That's why it's so important to come together. Let Jesus be seen. I mean, you're not going to get it all in one track. It takes time as we love Him and worship and honor Him. And as the Word of God is spoken, not my Word, but as I am sharing His Word with you, something takes place that is supernatural. I think if we just calm down and just realize why we come. We wouldn't resist coming to church so bad. It wouldn't be like, oh, it's Sunday already. Oh, we got to go. What will Pastor Lee think if we're not there? And you know, after all, it is good. And I haven't paid my tithe in a couple weeks. So we'll just, somehow we're going to make it. I think if we'd stop doing and start being and enter into this stuff, it wouldn't be like that. I'm very glad for Jesus. Amen? All right. So as the Father's love you, back to 9, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my work. Huh? Continue in my ministry. Continue in my love, he says. A revelation of the God. Now, we have very little time left. I want you to turn to the book of Ephesians that we're supposed to be going through expositionally. Okay, so go to Ephesians. You glad you came to church already this morning, though? God speaking to your hearts, that's the important thing. Amen. It amazes me. People come up afterwards and they say, man, what you said, that just... how did you know that? And they'll repeat back to me, well, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. But between here and there, something happened, and they heard a word from God. They went out of here transformed. So I know it's not how cute I can be with my little teaching. I must trust the Holy Ghost, take this country boy, and reveal something beyond me, in spite of me. I'm not perfect either. But how many are glad for the... That's right, brother. You know. Amen. Everybody thinks the pastor, you know, just lives a whole... How many know I'd bleed the same color blood and deal with the same kind of temptation? Okay, look at Ephesians real quick. We'll bump this a little further, and then we'll dismiss you in an hour or two. All right. Some of you didn't laugh. Okay, here we go. I want you then to move to verse 15. We've had a great feast up to this point. 15 in chapter 1 of Ephesians. Says this, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith, he's writing this letter. I want you to think about what's going on here. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love unto all saints. Paul was impressed. These Ephesians were getting it right. Their love for Jesus was open. Their love for one another was seen. Do we just do church? Or are we being the church? Do you just slip in and slip out? Do you know more than half the people in here? Do you even know their names? Do you have any idea where they work? It's sad what church has become. It's a place where I go individually, sit in my seat, do my private worship, do my personal alms and leave. It's not really what we've been called to. It's no wonder that things are slipping in spite of mega churches all over America. Wherefore also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory... Listen to the prayer. What he begins to pray over a group of people that he acknowledges their passionate love for Jesus. He acknowledges their love for one another. He's bumping them in prayer to a place that he speaks of often, where we are flowing in this new law, this new covenant, this life in Jesus of the Spirit. He says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. A spirit of wisdom. You know some people that are unwise? Do you know some people that are unwise? They can't see. It's like they have no spiritual, I know this is kind of a misnomer, but spiritual common sense. It just makes them really, they love God, they love people, but it's just like they just make one dumb mistake after another, and their lives are wrecked because of it. Paul here is praying for a group of people that love Jesus, and he's saying, this is awesome, and I acknowledge it. But he said, I'm praying that God will give to you a spirit of wisdom. James said, if you lack wisdom, ask. He doesn't hold back. Wholeheartedly take the wisdom that he gives. How many know we need wisdom? Amen. All over the room. How many in here know you need wisdom? You aren't smart enough for some of the stuff that's going on. I'm sorry. You may think you are, but you're not. We need the wisdom of God. Would you lift your hand up all over the room? Father, I thank you. My future, my calling, my direction as a father, provider, as a mother, with those babies at home and all that is around me in this world, I thank you for the spirit of wisdom. Come on, say it out loud with me. The spirit of wisdom. Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Revelation, revealed, seeing a little bit more of who he is. of revelation and the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That is powerful. How many remember when you first got saved? That was a mind blower. But now looking back, where you've, as you've seen God move, you look back and you go, man, I didn't know anything. I'm so glad He's merciful and He's good. Do you know that the next step as we move forward in life, it continues to be that way? We need our eyes, and we need, there needs to be a constant update. Drawing on Him every day. Paul put it this way in Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him. You could put the word in there more because that's what he's saying. It's not there. But here's Paul, who wrote most of our New Testament, has just got through laying down clear once again what this new covenant, faith, righteousness is all about. And his heart's cry, this great man of God, is still that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. You've heard me say it many times, and I'm going to say it again this morning. There's a lot of Christians out there saying, Lord, I just need more power. They used to go to Brother T.L. Osborne during those great miracle crusades, and they'd go up, and he's told about it many times. He said, I'd have people come to me and say, Brother Osborne, would you pray for me that I'll have more power in my life? And he says, ma'am, I can't do that. He said, what do you mean? He said, I can't pray that you have more power, but I can pray you have a greater revelation of the gospel. Or Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto your complete wholeness. The revelation of Jesus and the knowledge of Him, the spirit of wisdom to open up our eye, cease from religious deeds and stepping out into the unknown by His Spirit and daring to believe that He is in me, with me, for me, and I love the through me part. I'm very glad for Jesus today. Let's move it along a little bit further. That the eyes of your understanding, verse 18, may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. Notice that's interesting. And what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of His power. The exceeding. You're not going to see very many places where this kind of terminology is used. Not just great power of God, but exceeding greatness of His power. Can we just stop the religious for me? I want you to hear that. The exceeding greatness of His power. What is He talking about? To usward, towards us who believe. How many believers we got in the house today? According to the working. Here he states it again. According to the working of His. Listen, I didn't hear that kind of terminology when He was moving water away and forming dry land. I didn't hear that kind of terminology, not like this, when He opens up the Red Sea and the children of Israel walk across. I didn't hear this when a woman's meal would not run out and her oil would, the oil would not stop. This is speaking of something entirely different. This is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe. Excuse me. The working of His mighty power. Are you ready? Look at it. Which He wrought. That's King James for brought about. Which He brought about in Christ. When He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. Now, as we move through this, we're going to find out that when we believed in that work, we were set together with Him. How many believers we got in the house this morning? You don't have to raise your hand. I'm just saying, I want you to know. Here's what the Bible says about your position in Jesus. Back up to 19. Let's look at it one more time. Let's let it soak in. Jesus said in John 15:3, he says, "You're clean through the word which I've spoken." I'm ready to enjoy the cleansing this morning. I am. A reminder. A flow. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Everybody say that together. Exceeding greatness of his power. To us who believe, according to the working. He's stating it again. Redundant. Purpose, Holy Ghost. Purposeful, Holy Ghost redundance. According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Are you ready? Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. How many know when this life is over, life is just beginning? This is just practice. Paul said, "Eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, the things which God has prepared for those." This same little book, if we ever get through it, says that it is God's great glory to reveal to us for ages to come His grace. Ha! This isn't even a good burnout. You know what a burnout is on a drag strip? Some of you guys know what it is. This isn't even a good burnout. Okay, I lost you entirely. We'll just move on. Okay, here we go. And hath, are you ready for a little bit of shouting today before we leave? I think you need to be reminded of what this stuff means. Jesus says, look, we're always talking about the Father's will. And Jesus was clear. I'm submitted to the Father and I do nothing except the Father tells me. But now he's saying, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, he said, anything I receive is of the Father. Anything I say is of the Father. You can take what I say to the bank. You can trust that what I say is true. That's why Peter had the audacity. Hairy-legged, foul-mouthed Peter, after he was filled with the Holy Ghost and still struggled with the law, said, such as I have. There's one thing I know. I have a power on the inside of me that makes a difference when I open my mouth and call it into play. This is what Romans 5:17 is talking about. Death reigned for a long time, Romans 5:17 says. But for those who are faithful to church and pay all their tithes and find their ministry, for those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, these will be a little set apart from the rest of the bunch. We're all going. He all loves us the same. John was just a little different. You've heard me say it many times. Let me remind you as we join together. John was a little bit separated from the bunch. He had a revelation. Jesus loved all of them. But John got a hold of a revelation in which he boldly says in 1 John 4, perfect love, his perfect love for me cast out all fear. He had the audacity to stand. When the other disciples had run, they fled in fear, hiding, cowering. John is found standing boldly at the foot of the cross. Jesus speaks to him and says, take care of my mother. He's the only one. Some of you men, our people here hear this all the time. It's like, oh yeah, we know that. That's number 57. Pastor Lee always fools us. But for those who never heard, this is real revelation stuff. He's the only apostle they couldn't kill. They tried to kill him and they couldn't. The others were martyred. Their martyrdom was precious. But John climbed inside of a revelation of the love of God. And something about that. Set them apart. I'm here to tell you those that receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign. It'll set you a little bit outside where you begin to, with the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, begin to see things. I'm standing in the shower. I can smell blood, hear the glass, the crumple of steel. But I know who I am. I said, no, you don't. Not today, not ever. And I believed it so much I'd forgotten about it by the time I shampooed my hair. Levi gets home. Those of you been here, Dad, you would not believe what happened to me. I said, around 11 o'clock? Yeah, how'd you know? Don't let the devil point to the past, because it'll all be made right in just a little while. We're all growing. What's done? Paul says, this one thing I do. Philippians 3, I forget that which is behind. Amber, I can lift my hands and say, you are good. I have no doubt, no hitch. I mean, oh, He is good. And His mercy endures forever. Now, to finish up, let's just back up one more time. I want to do whose I am as we dismiss. So let's back up. Let's go through this one more time. Before I would encourage you, please take these scriptures home. Meditate. I'm not just being cute when I talk about people just sit and hear the word. It's like hearing somebody else take a shower. It's true. You got to get in it for you. You may be glad they took a shower. That's why it sounds nice. But it won't clean you. You got to get in the shower for you. Take this word home. Get in it. Climb in it. Meditate it. Marinate in it. Look at what he says. Back to 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. It's so easy to read through these. It's just religious jargon. Do you see what is going on here? He is for the first time using terms like the exceeding greatness of his power. If it's his power to begin with, it's big. But here, the Spirit of God through Paul is saying, this isn't just the power of God. This here took something special, supernatural, deep, put a demand that was way above what God would consider normal. The exceedingly great power of God is in manifestation. In this, when he wrought, that he wrought in Christ, that he brought about in Christ, when he raised him from the dead. Do you want to know why? Because you and I were there with him when he was raised from the dead. That's what God saw. That's what was so demanding of the power of God. That's how much he loved you and I. He saw that being the most awesome, powerful, incredible work ever. You and I, Paul says, Galatians 4:20, I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Can you say amen? Now, before we go, I'm working on a people. It's 20 filled. That's a miracle. Do you think God's not moving? Here we go. It's so wonderful to talk about all that. What I love about this book is it's not just speaking of the power of God. Paul does this repeatedly. And it's my heart's desire. Paul's not just talking about, he has a hook. You know, in songwriting, there's always a hook. Paul always has a little hook where he's at. Sometimes it's down to the wire. But what he does, he speaks of the majesty, the greatness, the power, the work of God that he does in Christ Jesus. But he's got a little hook. He does it throughout this book. It's seen. We'll get there maybe in another month or a couple of weeks. I don't know. Okay? But in Ephesians 3:20, where he says, now unto him that is exceedingly abundantly above, now unto him that is able to do, exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works, here it is again, in us. I've said that so many times to trick people, said in God. Amen, brother, amen. I said, no, it's not what it says. He's talking about a power that's found in you. Exercise it. Okay? Here, look at what he says. So he's talking about the, are you ready? Exceeding greatness of his power, which he brought about in Christ when he raised from the dead. What did it do? It put him not just above, but far above. Can you say far above? Wake your neighbor up. We're not done yet. Far above all principality, power, and might, and dominion, and every name that is named. Maybe it's time to stop asking. Oh, it's great to ask for prayer. It's great to go to people, and there's nothing ever wrong with that. But maybe you've been in a struggle. Maybe it's time for you to name that thing that's harassing you. Turn around and say, I've had enough of you. Name it and say, there is a name that is above your name. And it's time for you to scoot. Lester Sumrall speaks years ago when he was talking about no fear and authority in the name of Jesus. He talked about James 4:7, resist the devil, he must flee. He said he remembers a pastor that every time he would go to a particular house, he said there was this little chihuahua type dog that would come running out. Just a barking and a squealing and a barking. And just coming out and nipping at his heels and just made us to where he got, it was just miserable to go visit these people, this elderly lady in her home, because of this dumb dog that would just constantly come out. He said, one day I walked out of there, got out of the car, and here that little dog come. He said, I couldn't take it anymore. He said, I turned around, he said, you get out of here! And he gave that thing a good swift kick. That thing tumbled and squealed across the yard. He said, it never came back again. He said, it's about time for some of you believers to quit letting the devil do what he does. Turn around, give a kick, resist the devil. He must flee. This scripture right here reveals something very powerful. Hath put all things, verse 22, under his feet. Are you reading your Bibles? And gave him to be head over all things to the church. Where's this at? Where's this at? Where's this at in the church? Instead of tucking to the adversity of life and say, well, just let her rip. God must be trying to teach me something. Where is this? Stand up and say, wait a minute. In the name of Jesus, I defy you. His love is in me. And it overcomes here. You got to stop. This little book speaks of your power. Let me finish. The church, which is his body. The fullness of him. Jesus. Look around here this morning. Look around here this morning. I pray God this doesn't put you to sleep. Because this is the crux of our gospel. Look around you this morning. This is the church. This is the body. And the Bible says that all that power was put under your feet. This little book is getting ready to explode. This is why when I hear I'm going to somewhere where the devil's moving stuff around, I'm already chuckling under my breath. But do you know that most believers can't do that? They'll sit around and talk themselves into a frenzy of fear. They'll talk about the economy. They'll talk about the politics. They'll talk about the world. They'll talk, and then they got a bad end time theology. so they're scared of the future while they claim they're not? I'm here to tell you, man, you got way more in you. I say it every week than you could ever imagine. Little by little, as we unfold this book, let the waves of the gospel cause the power of God to come forth. It's in you already. According to the power, Ephesians 3:20 says that all this power, now unto him that is able to do, this is the exceeding great guy. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask and think according to the power that works in you. One more time, as we do week after week, let's lift our hands up today to thank you, Lord, for spirit of wisdom. Come on, all over the room. For the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. For revelation of your great love. For a revelation of who you are in me. I thank you today, once again, as last week, that supernatural love of God cast out all fear. Hallelujah. I thank you, Jesus, that because of you, the future is so bright, we got to wear shades.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Because you are here. In Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen and amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning as we're dismissed. If you came here this morning, you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, I'm going to remain up front here along with a few others. I would love to lead you into relationship with Jesus. And some of these here that are here to help me, we would love to do that today. If you have a need in your body, any kind of a need, we'd love to pray with you and agree with you. We believe that if any two should agree concerning a matter, it shall be done. Those were Jesus' words. So as we finish with this worship song, continue to worship. Please move your fellowship to the lobby. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Take these words, let them be seated deep in you, and let God be God in your life today. God bless you as you go. Let's worship.